Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast, number 1966, the topic is nutrition, and the title is How to Eat Carbs Without Getting Fat. Yes, that is a concern for a lot of people. One of my clients is a trainer, and he was asking for an explanation that he could use to explain to his clients on the fact that carbs don't make you fat. So, spoiler alert, they don't make you fat. It's really when you eat something, when you eat your calories, most notably carbs and fats, in excess of what you need, our body will save some of that excess as body fat if it feels that saving that is necessary. So we've talked about this in past podcasts, that there are a couple reasons why people will be overweight. And what I mean by that is most people believe that you can only become fat or gain fat by chronic overeating. And that absolutely is one way of doing it. Another way is inconsistent eating, which is actually most common. I talk about this in podcast 1615. So if you have access to that, you can go back to that podcast and learn a little bit more details. If your podcast player doesn't go back that far, you can go to our website, www.brutalirongym.com. We have a podcast player that goes back 300 episodes, but also underneath that has instructions on how to go to even older podcasts. But podcast 1615 talks about, why are you overweight? And it discusses inconsistent eating versus overeating. Most people don't eat enough when they're active, and they eat more than enough when they're inactive. What that does is that creates an environment in which the body has to operate in a deficit greater than what it likes. And then you follow that with moments of surplus where it has more than what it needs. What it does then is, in order to protect itself and give itself more energy, and again, it's mostly a protective mechanism, in order to protect itself in those periods of deficit, when you have moments of surplus, it'll save some of that surplus as body fat. And then that becomes kind of energy in the bank, quote unquote, that it can spend when it runs into the next deficit. One of the ways for us to help people get lean is to minimize surpluses and deficits. If the body is given what it needs when it needs it, it has reduced need to store excess calories. Therefore, if you run your body with a nice consistent intake that minimizes deficits and surpluses, and you run that intake at slightly below what it really needs. And what I mean by this is, it's like an analogy, a goofy analogy, is if I'm trying to steal candy from a kid after Halloween. Say the kid has 100 pieces, I can swipe really fast at 20, 30 pieces, but then the kid's going to see that I did that, it's very noticeable, the kid then hides and protects all of its candy that's left. Whereas, and I don't know why I keep saying it, kid is not an it, but the idea is, if the child has 100 pieces of candy and I just take one today, they're probably not going to notice. I take another one tomorrow, another one the next day, another one the next day. I can slowly get more candy from that kid. This is a horrible analogy, morally, but I can slowly get more candy from that kid than I could if I took one big swipe. Our body's the same. If we operate with nearly what the body needs, just a smidge under, if assuming we have body fat that we want to take off, our body will basically be taking one piece of fat away at a time. So we operate our body, say the body needs, I'm just making up numbers, say 1,000 calories in the next 10 hours, but we give it 900. Well, then there's a 100 calorie deficit. The body is I'll give you 100 calories in the body fat. It's not that important, not that significant. We're okay with that. We'll give you the 100 calories from body fat, and we won't even try to replace that because we still have more than we need. So you slowly create this deficit that over time allows you to burn off body fat without the body trying to replace that body fat. So when we think of what makes us fat, you know, will carbs make us fat? The answer is no. They can, absolutely, but so can dietary fats. So it's not like carbs are worse than dietary fats for creating fat. If you eat in excess of either one or in inconsistent deficit in excess, it can lead to increased body fat. The third reason why people will gain unwanted amounts of body fat is chronic undereating. They'll be undereating severely, and then they'll go through binge cycles, maybe even binge and purge, but they'll go through binging cycles, and that's just an extreme case of inconsistent eating. So where most people will inconsistently eat, like each day, they'll be in a deficit during the day, a surplus at night. People who are chronic undereaters might be undereating for several days and then have a binge, or even maybe 10, 14 days before they have a major binge. And then in that major binge, the body really does save that excess to try to protect itself from that prolonged deficit. So when we think about what makes us fat, it's really caloric intake if it's mismanaged. So mismanaged caloric intake. If I'm either just chronically taking in too much, or I have too significant of deficits and surpluses, which is inconsistent eating, or I'm chronically undereating followed by binges, which is just more drastic inconsistent eating, our body will accrue body fat and it'll be very hard to get the body to give up that body fat. So it's important for us to recognize that really is as long as we control our calories, and most notably, we want to be controlling our carbs and fats. If we think about the four main macronutrients, there's water, but nobody really talks about that because it doesn't have calories. The other three macronutrients are carbs, fats, and protein. Protein is very rare that it's eaten in excess. It's extremely rare that it's not even worth mentioning. you can eat up to like 1.2 grams per pound of body weight of protein and still not be in any major surplus that has any issues. I remember when I did my master's in nutrition, I read a lot of studies about protein intake. I did my thesis on protein intake. And a lot of the studies I was looking at, people were consuming, you know, for medical purposes, upwards of 300 plus, 400 plus grams of protein. And even in non-medical circumstances, they would just do studies to see, you know, oh, if somebody ate 400 grams of protein for 14 days, what are the effects? And what they found was there was very little, if any. So there's most times in most people, overwhelmingly so, that protein is not going to be a concern in regards to being overeaten, which would then contribute towards body fat being stored. So we want to really look at carbs and fats. Carbs and fats are considered, like the way I like to break them down, there are energy nutrients, whereas protein is like repair, maintenance, and growth nutrient. Now, fats are, like, they do play a role in formation of cell walls and some other things. And carbohydrates play a role in fueling the process of things being grown. But if you think about the building blocks of what things are grown with, it's mostly protein. So fats and carbs are what we really want to watch and make sure that we don't overconsume. So when we think of, will carbohydrates make me fat? There are three discussion points that I want to touch on today that will help us understand the answer to that. One is caloric control. So we just talked about the importance of calories. Another one is timing. And the third one is understanding weight fluctuations related to carbohydrate intake. So when we talk about within like calorie control, caloric control, we want to think about that within our caloric allowance, meaning how many calories we can eat per day, that is around maintenance level. If we eat at that amount, then there really isn't excess anything that can be converted to body fat. Remember that body fat is a material. It has to come from some material. So it has to be generated from other material, formed into a new material, which we would call body fat. If you're not eating in excess, there's no material left. Your body will have burned off the calories that you consumed. There's no material left to be formed into body fat. So assuming that we are tracking our calories and we have our calories set correctly for our activity level, then really we don't have to worry about whether those calories are coming from predominantly carbs, predominantly dietary fats, or a mixture of both. As long as we're controlling our caloric intake, we're consistent with our caloric intake, then that helps to really control any accrued body fat. There's no need to worry about us gaining body fat. They've done an enormous amount of studies, and they have shown that people with either high carb, high fat, low fat, any percentage of a mixture, you can control body fat via caloric control and control body weight. So weight loss diets can be structured with low fat, low carb, high carb, doesn't make a difference. They're all effective. So it's finding what works for you. Therefore, the best diet is just whatever you can be consistent with. So there's no need to avoid carbohydrates in order to reduce body fat. They've shown in studies that it can be done with a high carb diet. Think about most bodybuilders. Most bodybuilders operate on a high carbohydrate diet. They're going to have predominantly more carbohydrates than fats in their diet. But bodybuilders are some of the leanest human beings on the planet. Partly the reason why is in order for them to consume the amount of calories they need to consume to sustain their muscle tissue and their activity level, they need to eat a lot of food throughout the day. One of the easier ways to make sure that you can eat a lot of food is to eat food that digests quickly. Carbohydrates digest quickly compared to dietary fats. Therefore, they'll lean more into carbohydrates. So that way the food they eat is processed quicker. So therefore they can eat their next meal sooner and they can get more calories in throughout the day. So people can be absolutely shredded while having a really high percentage of carbohydrates. And that's been shown in studies and it's been shown in real life with the majority of bodybuilders and figure and fitness and all the different categories there are now, classic physique and whatnot. But those type of aesthetic competitions, there's still a predominant high carb structure to most of those diets. And that shows us that practically, not only in research, you can be lean and still eat carbohydrates. Now, you might say, well, how many calories am I supposed to have? How much, you know, carbs is too much? You can go to our website, www.brutalirongym.com, go to free nutrition education. The first link on that page is how to create your own nutrition program. And it'll teach you the amount of calories that would be correct for you, including protein percentage and then timing, which we're going to touch on here in a second. So what's good to know is if we know our calorie count, and we're controlling our overall intake of carbs, fats, and protein to match our calorie count, we can have as much carbs as we want. We can have as little as carbs as we want. So again, why do some people eat carbohydrates? It's to allow for a higher frequency of meals so they can hit a higher caloric target. There are, you know, people who compete in strongman. If you ever see people like lift this big, like round boulders and they flip tires and do all that crazy stuff, they'll eat upwards of 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, even 10,000 plus calories. I remember when Michael Phelps was all the rage in the Olympics for swimming, he was eating over 10,000 calories a day. And you'll look at some other athletes like DJ Metcalf of the Seahawks. He's notable for just eating a lot of candy all day, even though he's ripped. But it's because they burn through that. They're highly active. So in order for them to eat enough calories to fuel that activity, they have to eat very fast digesting foods, which are going to be carbohydrates. Another reason why people will focus more on carbohydrates is digestibility and nutritional conditions. Maybe they have some issues with high-fat foods. They don't digest those well. Maybe they just also prefer. Maybe your food preference is carbohydrates. Now, this again leads into the ultimate thing we're looking at here is caloric control. So you might prefer carbohydrates, and you're like, oh, anytime I eat carbs, I always gain weight. Well, if that's, you know, if you haven't been tracking how many carbohydrates you're eating, so if you like carbohydrates, quote unquote, too much, and you overeat, then yes, you will gain body fat. But that would be the same as if you were to overeat in dietary fats. So why some people prefer fats? Some people will eat more fats because they have less frequent meals. Maybe their schedule only allows 2 to 3 meals a day. So they need to feel full from one meal to the next. So therefore, they'll consume a higher percentage of fats in their meals, so that way they're slower digesting and they feel fuller between the meals. And again, it might be a food preference thing, a digestibility thing, a nutritional conditional thing. If somebody's like, you know, celiac disease, they might have a lot of issue with most common carbohydrate foods. They might find gluten-free foods to be expensive, so they might lean more into fats. And that'll give them a higher calorie counts, give them more sustainable energy throughout the day. So there are people who are successful in their diets with high percentage carbohydrates, people who are successful in their diets with high percentage fats. It's really just comes down to caloric control. Then when we look at timing, technically, if the carbohydrates that you would consume within your day are within your caloric allowance, timing really doesn't make a difference when it comes to body weight change. So they've shown studies that if you are looking at a diet purely for weight control, this excludes body composition, peaking like the amount of muscle you have versus fat. This excludes daily energy and how you feel throughout the day. This excludes quite a bit. But if we're looking at just weight control, then you can do that with really any timing of foods. This is why diets that are like intermittent fasting style diets, why they can work well if they're controlled caloric wise. This is why people can experience successful diets eating one meal a day or two times a day or seven times a day. You'll find that there are a lot of proponents to variable meal frequencies, and they're all going to claim that they've got great results. So somebody's going to say, I got great results eating only one time a day. So another person will say, I got great results eating five times a day. They're both right. Like, it's just, it doesn't matter, to be honest, when you look at weight control. What matters then is the sustainability of that structure. Can you eat that way where you kind of are tracking and controlling your intake consistently over time? For some people, that's going to be easier for them to eat all within a 4-hour window in the evening because their days are hectic, they're crazy, they don't want to have to deal with all that. So they have a little bit of caffeine or whatever they need to get through the day. They eat a whole bunch of food in a 4-hour window in the evening, but they're consistent with that, then great, that works for them. Other people, they're going to have energy crashes, feel like absolute crap. They're going to notice maybe that they have like softer skin, more like water retention around the waistline when they have less frequent meals. They might have energy spikes and drops. They might have more intense cravings. So if somebody does intermittent fasting and say they only have a 4-hour window in the evening, they might be so damn hungry by the evening that they have trouble staying within their numbers. So you would say to them is, oh, you know, if you have trouble staying within the target, why don't you eat one time earlier in the day, curb some of those cravings, curb some of that hunger, and then have still that other feeding time later in the day. And they might find that that works really well for them. So the timing of your calories and your carbs specifically is more of so a preferential thing. And there are better timing to maximize performance. There's better timing to maximize like body leanness and how you feel throughout the day. There's a lot of individual preferences. But in general, the kind of a good general recommendation of timing is before you are very active, it would be a good idea to consume some calories. And most notably, you're going to be faster digesting calories. So that can be lean protein and quick digesting carbohydrates. Because if I'm about to be active, I'm about to run the engine of my body. So just like we would run a car, we have to have some gasoline in that car. So if I put gasoline in my car, if I put food in my body will run well and it'll run with less stress. When you operate the body in a caloric deficit to a significant degree, like you go and do a really intense 30, 45, 60 minute workout in a totally fasted state, you will increase cortisol production, which causes increased water retention and can cause sleep issues. You can also run into where you have a high release of adrenaline and endorphins that then causes a huge crash afterwards. There's a lot of components that when you operate in a fasted state, that it doesn't really optimize the way the body operates. It doesn't optimize the way the body actually uses fuel. I have thousands of examples of clients where whenever we switched them from under eating during the day and overeating at night, and I said, hey, why don't you just balance out your intake? So we have them eat like a third of their calories and protein in the first one third of the day, another third of their calories and protein in the second third of the day, a final third of their calories and protein in the final third of the day of whatever part of being awake. They all of a sudden feel a lot better during the day, less cravings, less hungry, better energy, body composition looks better, a little tighter in the midsection, a little better energy, excitement for the day, for their workouts. Their performance in the workouts goes better. I mean, literally just everything improves. So I am a big fan of having people consume calories before activity. I've just seen it overwhelmingly work best. And research does support that for performance and dehydration markers and some other things. So it is helpful to consume energy before you're about to expend energy. If you have really kind of like intense weight training, anything that's, say, roughly 60 or under minutes or even 90 or under minutes, carbohydrates are usually a pretty good fuel source, especially if it's high intensity. Whereas if somebody's doing a moderate to low intensity, long duration activity, say they're going for a run for 2 to 3 hours, well, you can then, you know, you can use fats for energy. Maybe they'll use MCT oils or just regular dietary fats that you would eat in like Whole Foods. But if you're doing a high intensity interval style stuff, if your workouts are 30, 45, 60 minutes, even up to 90 minutes, carbohydrates is probably going to be a better source, especially if you have to eat it closer to the workout, because again, you're eating the energy to be able to use energy. Fats can take hours to digest. So if you're eating 1 or 2 hours before the workout, or even shorter than that, if you eat fats, it's not even going to be released into the bloodstream. It's not even going to be usable. So it's better to focus more on carbohydrates. The other times would be good to have carbohydrates would be is like during active times, like if you're active during the day, walking around, doing things, maybe your job is like loading and unloading trucks, maybe you're a teacher on your feet all day, nurse you're on your feet all day, cop, you're running around and doing who knows what, firefighter, EMT, whatever. If you have a very active job, it's probably going to be better for you to focus more on carbohydrates. So that way you have a nice steady stream of good usable energy throughout the day. If you have a sedentary lifestyle, you're sitting at the desk for the most of the day, then dietary fats would probably be better to lean into because they're a slower release. You're going to have a more steady stream of energy. It doesn't mean you can't have carbohydrates. It just means that your experience with carbohydrates might be you eat a meal, then you feel sleepy. Because you're not really doing anything. You're just sitting there doing nothing. So it would be better to have a slower release of energy, which would be dietary fats. You'll notice then if you have fats at a meal, you don't feel so sleepy afterwards. And that's kind of individual dependent, but that's a good general kind of thought is if I'm active, more carbohydrates are better. If I'm inactive, more fats are probably better. So that's when we look at caloric allowance, caloric amount. If we know our calories are correct, we can have carbohydrates and not worry about getting fat. Our timing, if we time our carbohydrates well, that just helps us have a better experience with carbohydrates. We don't feel so watery. We don't feel so dropped in energy. We just have a better experience overall while consuming carbohydrates. And then the third component would be to understand carb-related body weight changes. When we eat carbohydrates, you might find, and you might notice this because you hear people say this all the time, is when they eat carbohydrates, they gain weight. Like, oh, every time I eat carbohydrates, I always gain fat. No, you do weigh more, but it doesn't mean you got fat. The difference is carbohydrates, when we consume carbohydrates, they will be paired with water and sodium. And that those three elements come together and they make a compound called glycogen, which our body stores in our muscles. Glycogen is a very fast available energy source. So it's like the body's putting together the glucose from the carbohydrates you ate with sodium, with water. It's making this like compound. We'll just call it like a gel. The consistency of it doesn't really matter, but just for the ease of understanding, it's making this gel. It's making this liquid energy component. And then it's storing that in the muscles. So that way when you're active, the body can just, you know, break that down right away when it needs it. If you don't consume carbohydrates, the body can't form that glycogen. It can't form that energy gel. So therefore, it doesn't hold on to the associated water that it would typically hold on to when you do consume carbohydrates. So again, when we consume carbohydrates, it pairs that with sodium and water, and it stores it in your muscles. That water is now stored in your muscles. That water has weight to it. But if we don't consume carbohydrates, there's nothing then to pair with the sodium in the water, so the water is excreted and you urinate it out. Therefore, the weight of the water is outside of your body. It's not stored in your muscles because there was no carbohydrates to store it with. So when you consume carbohydrates, especially when you have a variable intake, meaning you had really low carbohydrates one day and then you ate more carbohydrates the next day, you'll notice that later that day or the very next day, you're going to be heavier because your body has taken the carbohydrates you ate, paired with sodium and water, stored that in your muscles, and now you have the weight of that water in your body. So it's not uncommon for people to weigh a pound or two or three, depending on their body size, more a day after consuming high carbohydrates. That doesn't mean you've gained body fat. It means you've retained more water within your muscles. It actually takes a lot of effort to gain 2 or 3 pounds of fat. You kind of have to eat like a butthead for a while, for like a full week or two. So one day of consuming more carbohydrates, if you notice, you know, a pound to 2 pound increase, you have not formed a pound of fat in one day. That would be damn near physiologically impossible. I hesitate to say this because I hate like basic math because there's so many elements and involved, but a pound of fat is equivalent to 3,500 calories. You would have to eat in excess of your daily needs by 3,500 calories of dietary fats and carbohydrates for that to then be formed together to form a pound of fat. And there's a ton of caveats to that. So it's not actually even entirely true. You'd actually need even more calories. But you think to yourself is, I did not eat all of my daily maintenance needs plus 3,500 calories of carbohydrates. So if I gain a pound the next day, it clearly isn't body fat because I did not eat in excess 3,500 calories of carbohydrates. You might wonder, well, how many calories do I need at maintenance? Remember, if you go to the website, Free Nutrition Education, that document that teaches you that, roughly, if I had to give you just a ballpark figure, is body weight times 13. If you take your body weight in pounds, multiplied by 13, that's roughly the amount of calories you need per day, plus or minus a good bit, but it's within the ballpark. The calories that we need per day would be attributed to what's called resting metabolic rate or basal metabolic rate, which is the amount of calories you need just to literally be alive. If you were to lay in your bed, eyes closed, just being alive, you're burning calories, and that would be related to what's called your basal metabolic rate. But then we have calories that are attributable to daily exercise, daily activity, just moving around, digestion, looking at things, like just our body processing normal stuff. The BMR, the basal metabolic rate, or your resting metabolic rate, the amount of calories you need literally to just be alive, is 70-ish percent, plus or minus some, 70% of that body weight times 13. So if you do your body weight times 13, multiply that by 7, like 0.7, that gives you 70%. That plus 3,500 calories, and actually even more, is what you would need to gain a pound of fat in one day. You're not eating that much, I promise. So even if you were trying the Michael Phelps diet for a day, maybe then you might catch a pound a day, but you're not going to be able to sustain that. That's ridiculous trying to eat 10,000 calories a day. I have tried it, so I will tell you that that is actually quite laborsome and challenging to do. But that gives you an idea is if I eat carbohydrates and I gain weight the next day, it is not body fat. It is attributable to water weight retention, which is associated with the carbohydrates being stored with sodium and water within your muscles, which is called glycogen. Okay. So, can you eat carbs and not get fat? Absolutely. Absolutely. We just have to make sure that we consume our total calories within the caloric allowance that we have per day. You're going to experience better. You're just going to enjoy eating carbs more if you time them well throughout the day, trying to have them more when you're active, less when you're less active. And then also just understanding that when you do consume carbohydrates regularly and you have normal fluctuations of daily calorie intake, plus or minus 400 calories, you know, randomly from day to day, you're going to have some body weight fluctuation from day to day, but that's going to be related to water retention differences, not body fat formation. Okay, that was a lot, but I hope that going through it in this manner made sense. We got into a little bit of details, but we also kept it kind of high level enough that it made sense and we didn't get lost in the weeds. So if you have any questions, if you need anything, you can always reach out to me on our website, www.brutalirongym.com. If you do go there, make sure you check out that free nutrition education where you can learn how to create your own nutrition program. And then if you check out our one-on-one services, I do coach people for nutrition only. I do business coaching. I do ghost programming for other trainers. I do programming for people where I train. I write the training program and their nutrition program, but I also do nutrition only. And I do that for a lot of athletes who are already following programs for their various sports and various reasons and conditions, high school athletes, college athletes and whatnot, where they're following a team sport. So they have team training, but they're left individually to manage their nutrition. So I'll do nutrition only coaching for those circumstances. But if you need any help, we have the free stuff online, and then we also have that service as well. You can always reach out on the homepage, on the bottom of the homepage. We have a contact form. You can send me any questions you want at any time, and I'll make you a podcast if you ever request a topic. So I hope this was helpful. I hope if you need anything, you're always feeling encouraged to reach out. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. Also, if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.